Love has a language. Love has a language. And we're going to learn some of the different dialects of love tonight. And we're going to learn the importance of maintaining and creating connection in God's house. But before I do that, Becky, you want to explain this? It's good. You should explain this.
We have our Sunday.
It's going to come on. It's going to come on.
Kids have been sponsored, so amen. That's awesome. But we need, if you have not, we did get several of them in, but if you did not fill out this slip, it was attached to the picture card of the Joshua Kid that you got. This is the information we need from you so that we can connect you with your sponsor. So if you call and say, I want to be my sponsor, I'm going to say, I don't know who your sponsor is if I don't have this or your child is. So there's a table in the foyer, and if you have it at home, you can bring it Sunday. Just fill out all of your information and slip it in the little basket. It says, place your slips here, and it has a thing. So very self-explanatory.
How many sponsored a JK but didn't turn one of these in? Raise your hand if you didn't turn one of these in.
So if you, I put extra out there, so if you did lose yours, there's more.
Got some interference.
So if you need one, that's all.
Amen. If you have your Bible, open it up to 1 John 4:20 tonight. Please go away. It's freaking me out. Let's read this. Is that right? Yeah, 1 John 4:20. Check this out. If anyone boasts, I love God. This is in the message. This is in the message. I don't normally give the version of the message, but for, so you know, like, you know, there's lots of opinions on what translation is the godly one. I'm just using this because it's so explicit in its language. If anyone boasts, I love God, and goes right on hating his brother or sister, thinking nothing of it, he is a liar. He is a liar. If he won't love the person he can see, how can he love the God he can't see? This is an interesting text. Because many of us believe that we can still love God and stay disconnected from our family. When I say family, I mean the family of God, and I mean, you know, the heritage that you come from. Many of us live with the false notion. We live under the pretense that we can, it's possible to love Jesus, but not love Jamie. Many of us live with the hypocrisy that we don't like Jamie, we have an offense towards Jamie, but we love Jesus. We fool ourselves and trick ourselves into believing that we can hold this disconnection from our siblings, but maintain a connection to our Savior. Now this text here is telling us, if anyone boasts that I, how many love Jesus here tonight? You love Jesus? So you explicitly. All right, we're fixing the bed. So you're saying, I love Jesus. What you're saying is, me and Jesus, we are one. We come together, we connect, and then somehow, through the miracle of the Spirit, we become one. You can see, you know, through us both, but we still maintain the integrity of both in the one. Right? But how many in here, don't raise your hand, still hold that truth with your brothers and sisters in Christ or in just in your family? Because family can test you. Family can test you. So what Jesus is saying here, he's saying, listen, if you're not connected with your family, if you can't love, what? Jeremiah's watching. If you can't love your brother and sister, if you can't connect with your brother and sister and become one, then there's no way you can become one this way. And the intersect is right there in the middle of the cross. It's almost as if the cross is telling us, look, if you can't connect this way, you cannot connect this way. And so if you say you connect this way and you don't connect this way, you're lying. You are just telling a lie.
So how do we make that heart-to-heart connection and able to keep our love on even when those little mistake, professional mistake makers, Remember those? Even when they're professionals at making mistakes, even when they're disappointing you and hurting you, how can we keep that connection? And how do they hear love? So we're going to watch a short video just to see what's missing in the connection, maybe.
Das hier ist mein Sektor. Das hier ist das wichtigste Gerät des Küstenwächters. Das Gerät und das Gerät. Überlebensradar.
Mayday, Mayday. Hello, can you hear us? Can you hear us? Can you... Okay, over. We are sinking.
Hello? This is the German Coast Guard. What are you thinking about?
So sometimes
really
you're
important.
Not making a connection. They're not hearing you at all. And so you have to speak their language. And every single person from tiny, tiny all the way up has an emotional love tank that needs filled. Every single day. It has to be filled and refilled and filled again and filled again. All of us do, every single one of us. So with parenting, and specifically, when your child's love tank is filled, it makes disciplining them, it makes training them so much easier. When you have a child that is not filled, we'll talk about that, but it makes everything harder. They're not able to listen. Their love is not there. They're not going to reach their potential. So only unconditional love can prevent problems such as like resentment, their insecurity, the anger we talked about a
Say
few weeks
again.
Back.
Say
resentment, insecurity.
Only
unconditional love can help avoid that. Resentment, anger, insecurity, those feelings that come from unconditional love. So
conditional love then. So only unconditional love can help prevent insecurity, offense, all of those things we feel. Conditional love will propagate those things. Okay. So if I love you conditionally, or if you believe God loves you conditionally, the response to that will be, you'll get a response to that. Inside, you'll react a certain way to conditional love. I always say this to people I counsel in premarital counsel. True love is found in the presence of judgment, not in the absence of it. Think about it. True love is found in the presence of judgment, not in the absence of it. Meaning, I judge you as not being worthy of my love because I know all about you. See, this is how God loves us. He knows everything about us. He knows where we're weak. He knows what we did last night. He knows how we're going to fail him tomorrow. But he chooses still to love you. Wouldn't you rather have that kind of love as opposed to the kind that says, because you were good, now I'll love you. But many of us live with the idea that God says, because you were good, now I love you. So because we think God loves us that way, this is how we love others. Because you're good, now I'll love you. Because you're a good son, now I'll love you. Because you did everything I wanted you to, now I'll love you. Because you obeyed all my rules, now I'll love you. But how many know that's not really love? If that's love, you earned it. And if you earned it, that it's worth nothing. It's a paycheck. Give me what I earned. I earned it, now give it to me. That's not the kind of love that God calls us to operate in. Or be loved by.
When you're loving your kids, even when their behavior is poor, and you're showing them that unconditional love, then no matter what kind of love, your child's love tank is able to be filled. But loving unconditionally will help them control their anxiety and their behavior as they're able to become older and adults. Even as babies, from the first that they start, they start to sense that love, and by the time they're 18 months old, studies prove that their emotions, their personality is being shaped and formed. and babies not being touched or not being loved, and just those basic things, they're going to act out. That affects so much with learning, with the way that they're able to love other people. Think about it. If you love your children conditionally, what they're going to do is they're going to learn to use that. They're going to learn to use that. So if you're loving them, oh, you're doing such a good job today, and if their behavior's poor, no, you know, I mean, sometimes we have to ignore their behavior, and I understand that. They're two, and they're throwing a fit. They can't control themselves at that age. But when they are, when you're loving them conditionally, they're not able to love unconditionally. So they'll say, well, if you give me that, then I'll act right. Then they're doing the same thing that they've learned from you. Their behavior is going to respond. So we're going to talk about the five love languages. Speaking your child's love language will meet and fill that emotional love tank.
Love has a language. Love has a language. And and for some reason, we think that that when we become children of God, we live with this false understanding that suddenly we don't have to do anything. It's that passive thing I was talking about earlier. That we come born again, and now suddenly, like, it just comes naturally. But it doesn't. You know, if you were going to learn Spanish, you'd have to go buy Rosetta Stone, or, you know, take a really, really good course in Spanish. And really, you know, apply yourself to understanding the language of Spanish, right? And so love, then, is communicated a certain way. And what we have to do then is how do I communicate and express to you in a way that says that love is present? Because it's different. It's, you know, we all have our own dialect. My brother-in-law Creed, how many know Creed? Well, he's from, like, southeast Ohio. Ohio.
Mingo Junction. It's just fun to say.
Okay. It's just fun to say. But he, like, when he talks, you'll pick up on it. And I didn't really realize how distinct it was until I went there with him. And everybody talks like Creed. And when I talk, they're like, oh, you're a Yankee. I'm like, what? I say McDonald's. Y'all say McDonald's. So there's a dialect each of us speak, and it's specific to each of us. So it's not like I can... So, I mean, it really requires that we pay attention. Like, I just can't treat everyone the same. And if we try to do that, how many who have kids know that you have to love each kid differently? They require different stuff.
So speaking your child's love language will fill that deep emotional need for love. But children, everybody, all of us, we actually need all five love languages, every single bit of them. But there's one or two that are usually your strongest. And we need to learn to speak someone else's language. Children under five, usually, because I tried to figure it out when Precious was younger, and I'm like, I don't know. So you can't really tell until they're a little bit older, and then you can kind of start to sense that. Because they just need all of them, so it doesn't hurt. Just give them
so
all.
So these are the five
and you'll
love
figure out.
Languages.
So gifts, physical touch, acts of service, words of affirmation, and quality time.
How many have read the book by Gary Chapman? That's him, right? Gary Chapman.
Yeah, there's a five love languages.
That's just that.
And there's a five love languages for children. And I can't, like, scream it enough. You definitely need, if you even, like, see a kid in your life ever, please read that book. It's so good. There's so much in it. It talks about not just the five love languages, but dealing with learning, dealing with discipline, anger, dealing with, like, with single parents, just so much in there. I marked up the whole book years ago, and then I'm looking at it again. I'm like, I need to read this, like, once a year, because I forget. And they change. Your kids grow and change. So it's something, and people grow and change. So it's something that you need to keep on. Keep on?
No, I can talk. How many know your love language? If you read the book, how many know your love language? How many know the love language of your spouse? Raise your hand. Now, when you learned that love language, didn't it, like, wow. Like, lights came on. lights came on, you were like, that's why. That's why she does the things she does.
And right? You have to learn someone else's, because we have like opposite love languages, and so.
So let's
really
give them a for example.
Hard.
Let me give for example.
But don't give that. We're not going to do the picture yet. That's not.
No, not
later.
The picture. Don't give the picture yet. But so I am a
gifts.
Yes, I'm gifts.
Number one.
I'm gifts. I'm all the way. Rebecca, like early on.
I like gifts, but I'm frugal.
Listen, so. Yeah. See what I'm saying? Like, and I'm like, so Rebecca will go to the store, right? And she'll say, she will come home. And she would say this, like, it still happens to this day, but she's learned. She'll come home and she'll say, man, I saw this really nice pair of shoes. And, you know, they you would have liked them. They were really cool.
But they were still at the store.
Now me, I'm like, where are they? Oh, I just saw them, right? I thought about them.
That was half of it,
like,
right?
I saw them, and I thought of you. Isn't that enough?
But they cost too much. We couldn't afford it.
And I'm like, that's very insulting. You should have kept that to yourself. What you're saying is, I saw something you would have liked, and I didn't think much about you to get them for you. So, hey.
But I've gotten way better at
that.
Listen. Even with groceries, I'm like, okay, I know you like this, right? Like, we had a long meeting the other day, Josh. Remember? I brought him beef jerky.
Beef jerky.
He wouldn't eat anything else there. I was like, oh, I got a snack for you.
And I was like, oh, see? She loves me.
See? So I'm good. I'm good. I learned. That was a long time ago.
Like, you want to talk about me?
No.
All right.
Oh, no. We're.
Look about who
you
are.
Oh, you mean
with me? Yeah.
Oh, okay. So I sometimes I think I'm a few of those. I'm not sure.
She is.
I think I go in and out because girls are, so guys have it a little bit harder because I think girls are like, okay, now this week I'm that, and that next week I'm that, and then you just have to figure it out. Be ready.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that I'm mostly quality time.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, hey, I like to be outside. I like to go for walks. Troy, let's go for a walk. What do I want to do that for?
I got a car.
I don't need to walk. Like, that's, I'm like, let's go to like French Creek and walking through the trails. And he's like, I'm not walking through the woods unless I'm hunting. Like, that's not.
Like, why?
Right? That's not something. But to me, that's like, I want you to do something that I enjoy. Like, that's being with me and spending time with me.
It wasn't really, fellas, it's really not about where you're going. It's about the time spent while you're going and while you're there.
Because it's filling their love tank. And their love tank is filled. And then when other things happen.
Because he'll tell them, like, I got better.
You have gotten better. He's working on that.
I'm totally working on it. I still don't like walking around the woods unless I'm hunting. That just don't make no sense.
We do try to go for walks. And then me and Precious are like, where'd Daddy go? And he's like off in the woods somewhere. So.
I'm thinking about you though.
He tries. But. Knowing someone, you have to learn a love language that's not yours to keep that.
And words of affirmation. She's words of affirmation, too.
To keep that connection. So gifts. Let's start with gifts. That, which is him. But that tells the person that you're thinking about them even when you're not with them.
Mm.
You're thinking about them. You're going throughout your day and you're like, oh, and I'll do this with Precious when she, because like I said, like kids, they're all of them. I mean, we're all of them, but I think that Precious is gifts too, but she's a few in there because then again, she's a girl. But I'll go through, you know, and if I'd go through McDonald's, I would buy her a little toy. And when I pick her up from school, I'd have it in the seat. Here's a toy for you. And she's, oh, I mean, you know, just a dollar toy from McDonald's. But it showed her that I was thinking about her during the day. And it's like, oh. So if you are a gifts person and somebody has done that for you, it's, oh my goodness. Like, and it's not just a gift, but it's something that they know that you had to think about. To give to them, and it immediately fills their love tank. And so when you're doing that for your kids, their behavior is gonna, I mean, you know, they're still professional mistake makers, so they're gonna make mistakes, but their behavior is gonna be so much better because their love tank is filled and they're gonna be easier to train. So when they do get in trouble, you can just make things a little bit softer and a little bit lighter. Do you want to talk about gifts anymore? I have some. Okay. No.
Okay. I don't need a mic.
The kiss of death for gifts would be?
Kiss of death.
You forgot.
Would be to go to a store And then come home and say,
they had these cool shoes.
I saw something really nice, but I didn't get it for you.
Or even worse.
Even worse.
Even worse. Oh, that's right. It's your birthday. Maybe, can we celebrate
it's,
that next
and so
week?
In our family, there's like 100 birthdays in October, y'all. Like, there's like, seriously, like Creed's in October, Uncle Chuck's in October,
and
I think
Christmas
Mary's
is
in
only
October.
2 months away, so that's
and
like
then you know what they always want to do with my birthday? Is share it. No, I'm not sharing my birthday. I want my own cake, I want my own candles, I want my own people singing to me. With my own presents.
Not like, happy birthday, dear
Dear
Troy,
Creed,
Uncle
Chuck,
Creed,
Mary.
Oh. Just Troy. Right.
Just me.
So the kiss of death for that is, oh, I forgot, or, oh, yeah, I saw that thing at the store, but, you know, I just couldn't get it this time.
Because if you're not a gifts person, it's just like, no big deal, bro. Like, you know I love you. I mean, I thought you did, but when you didn't bring me a present, I kind of now questioning whether you do or you don't.
And my dad, he trained us really well growing up. We didn't get it for a while because I call them my stupid years, but during my teenage years, I'm like, you know, they kind of go back to like preschool. I talked about that before too. Like teenagers, they're back to that egocentric stage. Like it's all them. So they're kind of like, sorry, teenagers, I love you, but you know, later on you'll be like, oh, that was true. But so my dad, there was one Mother's Day, and it's so horrible, I feel bad even admitting this, but he was trying to train us and teach us, and we didn't like get a Mother's Day card or a present or something, and we were old enough to do that. We had our own cars. Like, we could even said, hey Dad, can I have $5? I need to go get a card, you know, something. And we missed a birthday or a Mother's Day or something like that, and he laid into us. He's like, you knew it was Mother's Day a whole year ago.
364 days ago.
You had a whole year to have that ready on this day. And so I'll never forget that, but, you know, because we were, like I said, it was our stupid years. So you have to work really hard at learning a language that's not yours. But when you do, that love connection is going to, it's going to be there, and it's going to make that relationship work.
Definitely makes it work. That means you have to take walks in the park. You know, guys, you have to take a walk in the park even when you're not hunting. You know what I mean? Like, just even though it doesn't make any sense to you.
You have to act like you want to be there too.
Because sometimes I'll go just because, you know.
They know that's the kiss of death. But
that's
we'll
insulting
get to that.
Too,
that's
so.
Even worse. Like I could have went by myself. I'm good.
And she says that to me. She'll look at me.
I'll
just
go
like
alone.
That. You see
yeah.
the face she made? Should do that. Should do that.
Physical touch. Some people have that touch where they just have to. And Lana, if she's watching, she loves hugs. So if you see Lana, Paula, you tell her she loves. I'm just joking. That's a joke. So she texts me something about it before church, so I had to mess with her. But physical touch. But like I said, everybody is a little bit of all of them. Maybe at certain times more than others. But it's that contact. Maybe it's you have a kid or somebody that you know, they're just always like, hey, you know, they just have to sit real close. Or
how many are physical touch people? Raise your hand. You guys freak me out.
And
you
I'm
do.
Not.
You
my do. Mom called me a touch me not my whole life.
Yeah, Becca's definitely not that.
But so I'm working on it.
But you guys are really like
no.
Stop touching me. How do I touch you?
I don't hug. We met this couple the other day, and this is the first time we met them, and they were already, they're awesome and wonderful, but they were. Troy
That's
went
awesome.
To hug
People
him.
Watch.
Troy went to hug him because we
Listen.
Were so appreciative.
Yeah, yeah.
They were so appreciative. We were appreciative.
You could tell he was a touch me
not. And so
he
Troy's
was a,
like, oh, and his wife's like, he doesn't hug.
Yeah, but I hugged him anyway. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just going to hug you because that's what family does. You know, I'm not really, you know.
I didn't. I was like, thank you.
But he was just like, okay.
He didn't know what to do. So it's okay to still hug those people sometimes because, I don't know, maybe. But, I mean, you have, even boys, like, maybe they like to wrestle, and they're always, Dominic, you guys know our Dominic, and when I think back, because we didn't really learn about the love language book until they were maybe, like, yeah. adolescent, 11, 12, going on teenage years, I think is when, like, the three boys, because they're kind of like that generation, but they, he is, like, the biggest physical touch. And when I think back, I'm like, wow, I was watching baby Louie today and he was just sleeping on me. And I thought, that was Dominic. Like, that is how he went to sleep. That's the only way he went to sleep. And that's how he slept the whole time. He would just lay on you. And from the time he was little, he was like that. And now he does it and he doesn't care. Yeah, he's like, yep, that's my love language. And he'll hug you and he won't let go. And you're like, okay, this is uncomfortable. And he still won't let go. And people are looking at me that they don't really know that's my nephew. It's like this man. And he's like,
well, he did it to Caleb. Okay. He did it to his cousin. We were at Cheesecake Factory and they're both the same age. Well, he's a little older than Caleb. But Caleb, he was going back to Phoenix. And so we're right in the middle of the restaurant. And Dominic just grabs a hold of him and won't let go for an awkwardly long period of time. And Caleb's like, oh, okay, man, it's cool. This is weird. You should probably let go of me. Even though he was joking, it was still that there was an expression.
You know, and when Jeremiah, he used to go away
Jeremiah's
in the summer.
Oh, Jeremiah's not that. Jeremiah,
yeah, Jeremiah's like, I'm good. Yeah, high five. Maybe that even. But he would go away with his dad for 5 weeks in the summer. So when he would come back, we would all go to the airport and, Jeremiah, you know, we'd run and hug him. And of course he would hug us. But Dominic, remember, he took it to another level.
Oh,
he jumped up, leg hug, everything. You know, whoosh, all of it. And we have a
picture. In the airport with some funny clothes on. Just.
Oh, yeah. He dressed up for him that time. So he... So the love language, physical touch, the kiss of death would be, don't touch me. You're always hanging on me. And really, do you have to hug me right now? And I know with little kids, me and my Aunt Pat, we're like so much alike, my mom's sister, but it's like, it's too hot. Get off of me. You know, the little kid in the summer, especially when they always want to sit on their mom's lap or they're always hanging on you and they're always, but they just need their love tank filled. So the kiss of death would be, please, and instantly their love language—that's their love language. So that just did the opposite.
So with our language, we're either doing one of two things: we're either distancing ourselves and disconnecting from one another, or we're connecting with one another. We're either creating a connection of love with the language we use. We're becoming one. How did Jesus say, they'll know you and I are one by our love? That's what he said, Father, they'll know. There'll be this connection that love will create, that will say, and it will communicate to the world love. But if we're not focusing on that, what will happen is there'll be this disconnection. And what happens in disconnection is this. This is what happens in disconnection. Offense is like, it's rabid in disconnection. Like the other day, I'm just going to use it. Me and Mary were here, and you know, we're family. We work together all the time, right? And so Mary she brings this issue to me, and I'm like, I don't know what to do with that. And I don't know what to do with that. And she was frustrated, and I was like frustrated and didn't know what to do with it. So I was just like, well, just tell me what you want me to do later. And what I did was I spoke a language that said, I'm disconnecting from
and
this.
Caused anxiety.
And suddenly, everyone in the room that was here felt the disconnect. You ever been in a room when you felt disconnect? Mm-hmm. Whether it was your parents arguing or whether... You don't even need... You can sense it. You can walk into a room and go, there is no love in this room. Love don't live here no more. Right? And so what I did was I came here and I felt it. I was like, I feel icky. I really did. I felt icky. Ask Josh. He was here. I was just like, all right, I got to go. I got to go speak. I got to go make this connection work. So when I walk in, I sit down and I'm like, it's time to, let's. So I just started then become calculated in what I was thinking and how I was speaking and my facial expressions. And because my goal is connection. Because in connection, all things are possible. When we are connected with Christ, nothing's impossible. But when we're disconnected, nothing's possible. Right? And so we think we have to get to this point where connection means a lot. Connection with our kids, connection with our family. Connection is where the power is.
Acts of service is another one. And it's really kind of, it's a hard one to really learn if it's not your language. And if it is, then you're going to really... be happy. Hopefully everybody else will get that's around you. But it's help me, serve me with what I need and it's anticipating and the needs of that person.
This one's hard, guys.
So if I have acts of service, which I said, like I kind of have all of them. So, for example,
this one's really tough.
One time, this isn't my top one though; it's probably on the bottom, but. I went to bed. It was just recently when Jeremiah was home. And so he's finally getting it. So parents, if like they're younger and you're like, when in the world are they going to get it? Well, it's very hit or miss. But when they do get it once in a while and you're like, oh my gosh, they're finally getting there. But I went to bed and I can't stand waking up to a dirty kitchen. Like that is just like, it just feels gross and I can't stand it. And they know that. Like, my family knows that. The kids know that. Like, just, if you're going to clean up after yourself, like, just, it's a dishwasher. Put it in there, you know? And wipe the counters off.
I get afraid when I use a utensil and the dishwasher's full, and I'm like, I don't know what to do with this. Sometimes I hide them. Sometimes I hide them, guys.
So one night, I woke up, and I was like...
You do it too, don't you?
This is unusually clean. It was unusually clean. And I found out Jeremiah cleaned it the night before they went to bed. And I was in shock. But it's anticipating the needs of that person that needs the acts of service. Dion, he is like so acts of service. And for a long time, when we read that book, we're like, oh my gosh, that's it. Dion would just sit there and like, okay, so, you know, he's just waiting in the morning.
Who's going to cook me breakfast?
You make me breakfast? Like, hi, Dion, so do you want some pancakes? Yeah. And he'd just sit down and wait. And for the longest time, Mary's like, that's why he does that. Like, he just wants, will you get my shoes? Will you get my coat for me?
You feel like a servant.
It's like, okay, I'm not your servant here. So I know there's like,
not happening here.
There's definitely a happy medium. But when we finally figured it out, now when he will come over, now they're all gone. But when he does come over, I'm like, Dion, do you want me to make you breakfast? Dion, do you want, you know, what do you want? How many pancakes do you want? Because I know instantly that that's filling his love tank, and he knows that he is loved in that place.
But see, this one's hard to understand for those of us who aren't this. And for those of us who aren't this, we look at that behavior and we go, you just need to man up, dude. You need to...
That doesn't mean like clean their clothes. And they do have hands and feet. Like I always tell Jeremiah, get Mike and Ike right there.
I am not that. Like, I am not that. So when it's time to remodel my house, like I remodel my house. But Louie is that. Like Louie is that. You need to erase those photos because you're going to get in trouble. Louie is that, right? And so Louie's remodeling his house and I'm like, I got to get over there. I got to get over there and do something. But my schedule was way busy. And I'm like, Josh's like, what are you doing? I was like, we got to go to Louie's house. He's like, why? I was like, I have to help him. Why? I just, trust me, I got to help him. Well, he's a grown man. He can do it himself. Let's go hunting. No, I got to get over there. I got to help him. And so, you make it a point to get there. But for those of us who aren't that, we look at that behavior and go, you're a grown man. Move it yourself. Cut your own grass. Move your own stuff. Do that yourself, like, because you weren't raised, you know, that's not your love language, so it doesn't speak to you. But for them that you're doing it to, it's like, oh, man, thanks, man, I know you love me, it's so awesome. It's still, like, to me, I have to focus on it, like, oh, I didn't do that.
So the kiss of death is, what's important to you, it's not important to me. It's just not, and it's immediate rejection.
Oh.
And that connection, that's kind of... self-explanatory, but they feel rejected. They're not gonna.
I have to repent a lot because I honestly look at that and go, "You're gonna have to. You know what, dude? Do it yourself. Right? But that is not speaking love at all. Like, what I'm saying is, I really don't like you. I don't want to say that. Does anybody want to say that? You don't want to say that.
Or I don't have time for you.
I don't have time for you. Yeah, yeah. So it's a big one. You gotta really. I think that's the one, like, you really got to pay attention to in most of these. Yeah.
And words of affirmation is another one that all of us have, but some of us are more, they speak to us more.
Words of affirmation, raise your hand if you're a words of affirmation.
I think I'm that, too. I think that's my second one.
Yeah, she's words.
Yeah. So when words,
even if she knows I'm doing it to her.
I still don't care.
She still doesn't care.
Go ahead.
Like, even when she knows I am intentionally doing it, she'll be like, thank you, thank you.
It still feels good, right? Like,
she still
just does.
It. Like, you're such a good mom.
Like, and, you know, oh, I know you're just saying that because you're trying, you know, fill my tank, but thank you. Like,
it still feels good
because you just want somebody to say that. Especially to moms. They do a lot. So if you're a good mom, if you're a mom out there, and dads, but... words of affirmation. So responding to them like they're great, they're fun, shows them that they're validated, that you affirm them. I do this to Troy a lot too, and I know, like he said, I know that he's just like affirming me, and he's letting me, he's filling my tank, and I know he is. I know he's probably not wanting to inside. He's like, will you please just shut up already? I'm gonna go crazy. But I'm like, he'll come home, and I'm like, boop, 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 boop. And he's just sitting there listening, and I know while I'm doing it.
I'm gonna go to the restroom now. How many guys out there have had that happen? Don't raise your hands. Just put it down.
So that is affirming to them. So it's not just words of encouragement, like, oh, you're awesome, you're wonderful, it's giving them all of your attention, letting you know, like, you're fun to be with. I want to sit here and listen to you. It's a little bit of quality time in there too, but it's showing them, it's affirming them that your relationship and what you're saying to me and what we're communicating to each other is important.
It's really important too, I think, for us to recognize in our children's development when these are necessary. Because some of these languages are more necessary in certain age periods of their life than others. So words of affirmation, you know, we were watching this thing the other day where this guy was looking for the place where he gets his parking validated. You ever go to a hospital or somewhere and you have to get your parking validated? And so I've done this before. I walk around in the Cleveland Clinic looking for the place that will validate my parking. And so this guy's walking around, and he finally comes to a place of validation where they validate his parking. And so suddenly the guy just starts telling him, like, all of these affirming words. He's like, you're great.
And his face is like this at first.
You're super.
He's like,
you know what? You were born for greatness. And by the time the guy's done, he's like, you really think so? Perfect stranger talking. He's like, you really think so? He's like, you bet. You're going to do great things in the world. You know. And by the time the guy's done, he's like, thanks, man. I appreciate that. But I think that in our lives... especially in certain periods, you know, with our kids and, you know, in certain crises of our life, this one's really important.
And so with your kids, I know, like, Precious will do it a lot. Like, if we're saying something about Jeremiah or one of the other kids, well, what about me? See, look what I'm doing. Like, she's like begging for it. So, I mean, obviously when they're little and they're, you know, but all the way up, every point in age. So if this is your primary love language, the kiss of death here would be anger and not affirming me when I did something wrong, or maybe even when you have to discipline your child and you've got to do it in a right way.
Yeah,
because
really
they feel like it's a sandstorm. Your words are just coming at them like a sandstorm in their eyes. It's so painful. They just can't see anything else. They can't even hear anything else because it's the kiss of death to their love language. One good way to do it would be if you know that that is your child or anybody. This is like for any age, but especially your child's love language. You would, you know, want to say to them, well, honey, like, I really like how you, I don't know, find something good that they did that day, or you did a really good job at, you know, putting your clothes away, but we really need to talk about this. And then you need to go and talk about something they did wrong. Yeah, remember, they're professional mistake makers. And then close with something good again. But you know what? I love you, and I know you're going to do better tomorrow. And then give them that hug. So if you're able to give them that, like, that sandwich, and you give them something good, and then you give them what they need to hear, because sometimes you got to tell them words that are not so happy, and then something good.
Yeah, you know if Becca's correcting you how it's going to come. It's going to come in a sandwich.
It's just good. It's good for everybody. We all want it like that, right?
You'll listen
better. You're going to be open to it more.
The most intimate times I've ever had with the Lord have come by this way. when he, you know, when he said that over Jesus, it was a powerful statement. When he said, "You are my beloved son, and I am so pleased with you." You know, the most powerful times where I felt this, the presence of God so powerful is when I've heard his affirmation over my life. Just saying, "Troy, you, like, I love you, and I'm so proud of you." Have you ever heard God say that to you? And I'm telling you, when he says it to you, and if you've never heard it, then perhaps you need to listen closer. Listen closer. Because he's saying it. He's saying it. He said it over Jesus, and when he said it over Jesus, you were included in that prayer. When he said that over Jesus, he said it over you. You are his beloved child, and he delights in you. He's pleased with you. He likes the way you are. He likes the way you are. He likes everything about you. He likes the way you stand, you know. He likes the way you smile. He likes it, and he's pleased with you. That's a powerful moment when you can get to that place where you hear him say that. The devil's lies become so piddly, so nothing. You know that the Father loves you now, and the devil's lies. And so how much more important is it for us to communicate to our children, "Your Father loves you. You know what? I'm so proud of you for getting all A's. Man, you're awesome. Like, here's..." And so, since I'm a gifts guy, here I am. Let's go buy something. Right? Let me celebrate.
And Precious is a gifts too, so it's kind of...
Yeah, she's... But my, like, how I want to celebrate you is through my gift. I'm like, "Let me get you something. Let's go. Let's just go and buy you something, because that was so awesome."
The last one that we're going to talk about is quality time. And that's, we talked about a little bit with, because I like quality time, but going and looking for that in that person and doing something that they enjoy doing, not just like, if they don't like shopping and you're like, "Oh, I'm going to spend time with you. Let's go shopping." That's not going to work. It has to be something that they enjoy doing. Maybe it's just sitting and talking. Like I said, with the blah, 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 blah. He's giving me his time and his attention. But remember, you have to do it with the right attitude, not like, "Okay, you go in there and shop. I'm going to be out here on the bench, you know, waiting for you, drinking coffee." That's not quality time. You have to, my dad's really gotten good at it. When I watch him, I'm like, "Wow, you really worked at this." Because he'll like go with my mom to the store. "Oh, look at Tina. Isn't this nice?"
He's really good.
And I'm like, "Man, like, you know you don't care about what you're doing right now."
Like, I remember this one time he hijacked me on a quest to pursue, you know, all of that. We were like down somewhere and we were looking at these houses none of us could afford. To a gifts guy, why am I looking at stuff I can't buy? It don't make no sense. I'm not looking at this. I can't buy it. But you know what he was doing? He was just loving her. And I'm like, "You're a good dude, because this is ridiculous right now. I'm ready to go home or to the beach or go get some ice cream or something."
So you have to like really mean it. You have to lay down your life just like Jesus did. Lay down your life and do it for that person. Because the results that you get from filling someone's love tank, it's so much better. You're able to train and discipline your child better. The relationship that you have with that friend or that loved one will be better. They're going to feel that connection with you. And it's teaching your child that love connection. But much more than that, you're training that love connection with their Abba Father, their Daddy God. And they'll be able to feel that connection with him and then pass it on. They're going to know how to look for that love language. Jeremiah, one of his gifts too, pretty much, right? So, man, I'm like the frugal one. That's like really hard for me. So you guys should pray for me. But so Troy is like, well, we got off of quality time. Sorry.
No, go back.
I'm just kind of like out. Okay. But Troy's a love language is giving gifts too. So that's really scary. We talked about the cars and stuff like that. So he'll be like, "Well, come on, let's get him this. And let's get him like, you know, and then... But he's had that like kiss of death so many times where he had loved ones in his life not give him gifts. And so I think that God has like put that in Troy where he's like, "Well, I'm going to double portion it for him," where he'll be able to pour on those love language of gifts. And me and Jeremiah have talked about that now that he's older, you know, and I've said to him, like, "Now see, Jeremiah, like, you know that's somebody's gift. And when that is their gift, that hurts. When you don't, I mean, he's bought him, like, shoes.
Yeah.
He's bought him, like, basketball shoes, and then because he loves shoes, and that's his gift too, and he knows that that's his gift, so he'll come back and so it's training them, and not only are you filling their tank, but they're going to learn how to reciprocate that. They're going to learn how to, now I know my mom's tank is this, and or my mom's love language is this, and I need to go back and do that. They're going to remember that there's a connection here, and they have a responsibility on their end too. And so you're not only just filling, but eventually they're going to learn, and they're going to be able to do that for other people, which truly shows God's love. Ultimately, it shows our Daddy God's love.
Yeah, how important is it for us to portray our Father as one who communicates love at any cost? At any cost. How attractive then does the Father become based upon his children's representation of him? And you know, I see this in all of my kids, and you know, you kind of look at them and you can see like how they represent the love that you've kind of given them. You know, Jeremiah is the same way. But you can see him, how he represents his home when he's out. Right? And don't we want to represent our Father well? Don't you want to, like, when we go away from here and we're out there for everyone to see, don't you want to represent him with honor? Like, God, I want others not to hear a sermon. I want them to feel glory. I want them to feel it. It's that stuff, you know, that, and I posted this on Facebook the other day, that, you know, the tabernacle, the glory came to the tabernacle because Moses went there. Because God desired the presence of Moses. And when Moses went there, the glory then was attracted to it. It's not the other way around. It's not God goes and then we show up. It's we go and then God. He wants us. He desires us. And wherever we are, he's like, glory's there. My glory. Look at that. It's on you. And then it got all over Moses. Come on, let's stand tonight. As we close, I want to encourage you this evening that being a son and a daughter of God means we make love our mission. We communicate love and we maintain love in our families. That we prioritize and we adjust. Now, sometimes you have to get over yourself. Sometimes you have to just get over yourself. Like the other day when I distanced myself from Mary and I came in here. And there's that moment where the Holy Spirit will say, that's not love. You're not connecting. And you got a choice to make there. You can either make the choice, it's all right, I'm going to just get over myself right now. This isn't really, what I want is power. I want glory. And I know that glory only comes through connection, through communion with the Father. And so sometimes we're just going to have to prioritize our lives to make sure that we're being purposeful in the language we speak and how we communicate the Father's heart. We're going to have to learn the language of love through heaven's perspective and begin to speak it. Matthew 22, verses 34 to 40. I'll read this as we close. When the Pharisees heard how he had bested the Sadducees, they gathered their forces for an assault. One of their religious scholars spoke for them, posting a question they hoped would show him up. Teacher, which commandment in God's law is the most important? And Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your passion and prayer and intelligence. You see what he's engaging there? Love the Lord your God with all of your passion. Dominant passion controls the culture. It controls the culture of our homes. It controls the culture of the society we live in. Love the Lord your God with all the passion you have. And prayer. Love him through communication. You see what he's saying? Like, love him with your communication. And intelligence. Think about how you're loving him. Give it some thought, guys. He's saying, look, you got to think about this. It's not enough just to say, I love him. It's got to be passionate. It's got to be communicated. It's prayer. That's what prayer is. And it's got to be thought about. Now look. Next. This is the most important. The first on any list. But there's a second to set alongside it. Love others as well as you love yourself. What he's saying here is the same way you love God, love others. So that means you got to love him with passion. And you got to love him with prayer. And you got to love him with intelligence. You got to think about it. Let's pray tonight. Father, we thank you tonight. We make it our desire and our goal and our intention tonight to love intentionally. To communicate love at any cost. At any cost to us. We purpose tonight that we will love with passion. We will love our families, our children. We will love our brothers and sisters in Christ. We will love this world with passion. We will love you with passion. We will love God with prayer. We will cover everyone around us, our children, this society, our wives, our spouses, with prayer. We will communicate through our words love. We will love with intelligence. We will be thoughtful in our approach to loving our children, our spouses, our brothers and sisters, and loving God. We'll be intentional. We'll be thoughtful about it. We'll consider it. We love you, Lord, tonight. We pray that if there's any in here tonight who may have sensed distance between themselves and you, that even in this moment, God, that they would come to you. That they would call upon the name of Jesus and you would rescue them. If you're dealing with sin tonight, I want you to know that Jesus has paid the price for your sin and you don't have to walk in sin or live in sin any longer. You can ask him and he'll forgive you and he'll give you a status in heaven that makes you a son or a daughter of our Father. We do that tonight, Lord. We desire one thing and that is to connect with you, to love you that way, to love one another that same way. Pray, God, that as we leave here, that we would be intentional about our love. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.
I just want to say to you, first of all, thank you for your message. It's important. What I want to say is that, you know, this is an awesome outline on how to love our children. What I want to say is if you were a child that didn't receive any of those five love languages, right, and you're asking yourself right now, how do I do that? How do I learn then to give something I never received? I want to say this to you. For 20 years in a relationship, in a marriage, every single year at Christmas, Mother's Day, birthday, I would get my kids together and I'd be like, let's go shop for daddy. And I don't care if they had $2 or if they had $20, we'd go shop. He was not taught that. And so every year on every holiday, they would have all the, you know, daddy'd be opening all this stuff and I wouldn't have anything to open. And it literally would go from not having something to open to feeling uncomfortable and feeling left out and unloved, to me going to my room and shutting the door and sliding down the wall and completely just having a meltdown. And within 20 minutes, I literally wanted to just die. I just felt like my kids didn't love me, that nobody loved me. And this happened for like 20 years. And it wasn't until I came to Christ. And the first time I went and I did formational prayer or SOZA, it's the same thing, it's inner healing. And the first time the lady that was doing it with me, she said, you know, Holy Spirit, come. Speak to her about a memory that needs healing. And all of a sudden, the very first memory the Holy Spirit brought back to me was me coming down the stairs with my five brothers and sisters. I had six, but five of us were blood brothers and sisters. We were all adopted. And I was coming down the stairs in my pajamas. It was Christmas morning, and I could see the tree, and I could see all these presents around it. And they sat us down around the tree, and the little girl, the youngest one, my littlest sister, that wasn't our blood sister, she was adopted a year before all of us, and she kind of had favor with my adoptive parents. And they sat us all down, and they made us watch while she opened. All the presents were just for her. And none of the presents were for us. And it was like the Holy Spirit just pierced that wound. And in that moment, Jesus walked into that room.
Yes, he did.
And he walked over to me, and the background faded out, and Jesus bent down, and he picked up the little girl with the pigtails in my pajamas and set me on his lap, and he said, "Christine, I have the best gift that you're ever going to want, and there won't ever be a day that you can't have that present." And in that one moment, Jesus took away that neurological pathway that was torturing me for 20 years. I didn't know why I did that. My ex-husband thought I was crazy. And I didn't understand why I would have these meltdowns. But it was because I lacked those things. But Jesus said, I can feel that. I can feel those things, even now. So if you didn't feel those things, just ask Jesus. Ask Jesus to come and fill those things that your parents didn't give you so that you can give out.
Pray for us tonight, Christine. Pray for everyone in here that might have felt that void in their life right now.
Oh, Father God, we thank you tonight, Lord Jesus, that you fill all our voids, that you come into our hearts and our minds and our spirits. Lord, in those dark places, in those moments when we feel lost and we feel alone and we feel unloved and untouched,
yes.
Father God, that your hand scoops us up and you hold us in the palm of your hand, and
yes,
we are beautifully and wonderfully made in your image, Lord. Father God, that there is never one moment that your eyes are off of us, Lord Jesus, that you love us the same every moment of the day when we're doing something that's not good and when we're doing something that pleases you, Lord, that your love does not waver. So Father God, for every person in this room that has felt pain in their childhood or in their present life right now,
yes,
Father God, that has felt pushed away and unloved, Father God, that their love language wasn't fed, Father God.
Jesus.
Lord, I ask tonight that you would let us scoot up to the table.
Yes.
Scoot up
Jesus.
To the table, Lord Jesus, with you, that you would feed us that feast tonight, fill our love tanks tonight, overflowing, pressed down, shaken up, and overflowing, Father God, that you would just overflow us with your love tonight, Father God, and just let us know, touch each heart, touch each mind, let them know that they are important, Father God, that we are important to you. Individually, each one of us, you see each one of us, and you know how to love each one of us in your most divine, perfect way. Father God, we thank you tonight for the message. We thank you tonight, Father God, that you are breaking all assignments over this house of the Lord. All assignments over every single person's house that is in here, Father God, of offense, of division, Lord Jesus, of anger, of isolation, Father God, of abuse, Father God, of sickness, Father God. And Lord God, we just release your love in this place tonight, Father God, your love that heals all wounds, that heals all wounds, Father.
Yes.
And we just thank you for that tonight, and we give you all the glory and all the praise.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. I pray that you be restored beyond your imagination. God never is restored to what was. He always restores beyond. Live right. Love everybody. Pray hard. You're welcome to worship before the Lord as we close tonight. God bless you. We'll see you Sunday.